go right through. In fact, when all the Harry Potter books were out, I would often order them in advance. So I'd get them the first day they came out and usually have them all read and, you know, the whole book read in one weekend. I just stay up late reading. So
would we call you a bookworm?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. Oh,
that's a nice thing to know.
So how about you? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible.
Let's talk about our BU moment. And that would mean we talk about being real, real in the terms of where are we really? What are we really doing? What's happening around us? Instead of imagining it, let's paint the picture. So Dr. Energy, do you want to go first? Do you want to tell us, where are you at the moment?
I am in Ottawa in my usual office / recording studio. And I've spent a lot of time reading this weekend. My niece had convinced me to read a particular series that she had read that she absolutely loves. It's sort of a Lord of the Rings adaptation of a Cinderella type story. So that's, I've spent a lot of time. I stayed up quite late last night reading. It's a 5 or 6 book series. So.
Well, that's quite the story. Okay. Mm. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming.
No. You know, it's a fun story, and I'm the type of person that when I start reading a book, I don't like to put it down. So I like to just go right through. In fact, when all the Harry Potter books were out, I would often order them in advance. So I get them the first day they came out, and usually have them all read, and you know, the whole book read in one weekend. I just stay up late reading. So
would we call you a bookworm?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. Oh,
that's a nice thing to know.
Yeah. So how about you? What are you up to today?
Okay, well, I'm in my bridge room because I really like to be in this room. And I think maybe I'll change rooms one night, but I don't know, or one afternoon or one morning. But I really like this room. I have some dim lights outside, so I'm overlooking the gardens, but it's not very visible because of the time of evening that it is. But I'm surrounded by my indoor garden, which is always great because I like to see what's going on with my jade and my aloe and my bamboo. I was going to name them all, but I won't bore you with all of them. But I have Begonia Rex, and I have a really great Russian orchid. I have this for 11 years. It's fantastic. Nice. I actually got it at the place where you used to do your clear days.
Oh, okay.
In Sharon.
Nice.
I bought it there one summer. So I'm in my bridge room, me and all my friends, and my 7.5-pound animal dumbbell.
Wait, 7.5. I thought you were going to go up to 10-pounder.
I didn't do it. And the reason why I didn't do it is because I had to go and get the other plates from the Bowflex, which I didn't do, but I will. It requires me getting in the elevator and then going to get them. So that's my excuse. So I'm still with the 7.5-pound animal. But what I did do is I finished a 31-day yoga challenge over at my studio. So that was yoga, yin, and Pilates. So what happens, where I am at the moment, I'm feeling really good in my bridge room. I'm feeling really good in my body and my skin because I just put 31 days into pushing myself, but yet finding new limits. So it wasn't like I pushed into a wall and said, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
I don't know if, you know, you have any idea about what doing, I know you do, about doing a reverse bridge, but for me, that's not my favorite position. Right. But I was able to do a reverse bridge today. And I thought, okay, it was 3 days into the new month. Mm-hmm. So 34 days into my challenge, which is one of many because I've been doing the challenges for a long time. I had no problem doing reverse bridge and thought, that's what happens when you stick to it.
Yep.
So I'm feeling really good about that. It's not my favorite move, but before I would find an excuse to do anything but that. And now I'm thinking, okay, I wonder how that's going to be next time I get that instructor and we do it, or a different instructor.
It's those micro habits are huge. You know, it's that little bit of improvement every day that you get, almost like a compound interest.
Right.
Builds up. You know, that's that story. If I gave you, would you rather have $5 million now or give you a penny today and it doubles every day until the end of the month?
Right. We know the answer.
And most people would take the $5 million, not realizing that starting with that penny turns into $10.7 million at the end of 1 month. But you only really see it in the last three to 5 days where it really multiplies.
It's the lily in the pond.
Right.
The lily pad. You know that story, right?
Yeah. Tell it to me anyways.
I'm gonna have to Google it to give it to you the right way, but I will tell you that on the 28th day, you will see more than one duplication.
Right.
So we can Google it so that I can be more authentic.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we can do that another time.
Okay. I won't do it now.
Well, yeah, I think it might be another good episode for a podcast.
Let's do that because it's speaking about return on investment, speaking about duplication, speaking about what's better, the penny up front, the $5 million up front or the penny a day, the money up front. So yes, that's a great subject. And this all has to do with the investment that I made into applying myself, not letting anything get in the way, because I wanted to take the physical challenge and see where it would get me. And it's amazing. I'm not stopping. I booked where I am right now is I booked the next 30 days of how I'm going to do month two of my 30-day challenge, which will give me a 60-day challenge. And we know I did this not too long ago. Yep. That turned into like a 10-month deal.
I think you have another challenge that you've been doing for much longer than that about gratitude. Yeah.
Oh, yes. A card a day since, that was May 22nd that I started that. In 2012.
Right. So 7 years, seven and a half years almost now.
Yes. 7.5 years ago. I really know how to stick with something. Let me tell you, I'm loyal to my...
What do they call that? Stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness. I am committed.
That's I'm loyal. Awesome.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Thank you. So I'm standing in a great space and in a great mindset tonight. So I'm happy to share that with our guests and with you. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, no problem. So that's awesome. I think we should carry on now and meet our guest for this episode. I think she's going to have some really interesting things to share with us about traveling, being a love junkie, and maybe even being something about, I believe it was a nerdy spiritualist.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about her. Okay, so we're going to lead right into Giovanna.
Perfect.
Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is Be You, Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking. Receive instant feedback and achieve quick results. And feel confident that no one is laughing, unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships.
Let's take this time to talk about our guests this evening, Dr. Energy.
Absolutely.
This is a dynamic woman. I'm so excited that she's on with us. I don't know if she realizes what a fan I am of hers, but she's going to know tonight. So let me read a little bit about Giovanna. Giovanna is a self-professed nerdy spiritual girl.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm totally infatuated with her. I have a girl crush on her. A committed lifelong learner, she considers herself a modern day medicine woman, blending the science of deep healing with a dose of practical magic to cure the ailing heart. This is fun, a fun fact. Always one to shake things up. In 2018, Giovanna co-hosted the Thirsty Soul Women's Spiritual Retreat through an earthquake. Imagine that. That's got to be an experience.
It'd be tough to keep your balance on that.
I want to see how she how she did that and came out of it on top as usual. An experienced and adventurous traveler, Giovanna is a student of the world, a storyteller, and a lover of life. Stay tuned for her debut memoir, Lovesick, Confessions of a Love Junkie. And this will be out in late 2020.
A love junkie. I like that.
Let's welcome Giovanna.
Welcome, Giovanna.
Hi. You guys are awesome. Thank you. I've never quite heard my bio read that way back to me. That was really entertaining. I was like, wow, she sounds cool.
I'd like to get to know her.
Yeah.
We certainly are enamored with you, and this is the fact, and these are your facts, and they shine. They are amazing. Can we talk about a few things here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an open book.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. No pun intended.
An author. But open book.
How apropos.
Very punny.
And speaking of punny, let's talk about the nerdy spiritual girl. Yeah, tell me about that. What does it mean?
Oh, yeah. That just means I'm like fascinated by, I've always been fascinated by science. I've loved science in school. And I really young started off on my spiritual journey and curiosity. And so for me, I love when I see science, you know, kind of prove spiritual concepts, right? And vice versa. And I just consider myself very, very geeky, very nerdy. I can geek out on like, you know, quantum physics and, you know, all of the science.
Kindred spirit. I like it.
Right. Yeah. Sooner or otherwise. And then I could geek out on all the woo woo, but I especially love when, you know, the world of the woo, let's say, is like based in science. That just rocks my world. I talk about it all day long.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I also loved what you wrote about yourself in your bio, or someone wrote it for you, but what we just read, the modern day medicine woman, blending science of deep healing. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you mean by deep healing?
Well, for me, deep healing happens at like the first layer of healing, which is the energy level. Right. And then everything manifests in the physical form, which is our densest form. So when I talk about being, you know, modern day medicine woman, I'm a homeopath by training. I'm a holistic nutritionist. I've studied and practiced energy medicine for a really long time. And so to me, it's always about the mind-body connection. And so when I talk about healing on a deep level, I really talk about, you know, yes, the psyche, but, and the emotions, but also even going deeper and how that energetic level is where everything begins, illness, but even health.
Cool. And I, if I remember correctly, when we first crossed paths, it was just around the time you were starting your journey on the with the homeopathic education, right? I think way back 15, it's got to be close to 15 years ago.
No, we met even way before then. Yeah, I still had my like desk job. I was still working at the RCMP.
Okay, I can remember. I know you were talking about homeopathy and stuff around that time. I know that it was a big, and I loved seeing the curiosity, like I had the desire and the curiosity to study the science along with as you call it the woo. That's sort of like me. You know, my mom used to always call me as a kid Thomas. Yeah, because she would call me Doubting Thomas, right? Yeah. Show me, like the apostle, show me the scars, right?
Yeah, prove it.
I wanted the proof, right? So I totally get it.
Yeah, so, I was really early stages then. I was probably still just studying nutrition.
Yes.
I actually always tell the story of when we first met, Joe, because it ties into network spinal analysis and and because I had done energy work and energy stuff way before then, but somehow I couldn't like cross the chiropractic, traditional chiropractic with the energy piece. Like it still wasn't connecting with me. And I always tell the story of when we first met, because when people ask me now, I'm like, I totally am such a fan of NSA. And I always talk about it as the best body work and stuff. And I say, and when people look at me like, really? And what's it about? And I say, no, it's okay. Don't worry. The first time I went, I was like, what is this guy doing? He's just flicking my spine. Like nothing's going to happen here. Right. And then your whole life changes. So yeah, that's my first memory of us.
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good lead in to so many things. I have this thought about, let's see, I was going to say, how deep does deep healing go? So you both have a really good experience with that. Maybe you can both add to this. So my thought is, you know, there's healing, there's deep healing, but let's talk about what is deep healing? Like, what does that mean? Our listeners are saying, what does that mean? What are they talking about? Can Giovanna and then Dr. Energy, can you give us some input on that?
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Ladies first.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when I hear that statement, it's almost funny because it's like, you know, we're separating it to like deep healing and healing. And it's like, as you were saying that, I'm like, well, there is only one healing, right? So there's like, if we say there's like superficial healing and deep healing, well, then the superficial healing is not really a healing at all. It's just a Band-Aid solution. And so for me, when I talk about deep healing, I go back to causation, right? Like what caused this, you know, I don't know, kink in your energy field or what caused this kink in your system or your biology or, you know, your neurology or things like that. Like what caused this? I do a lot of relationship coaching and stuff. And I go right back to, you know, your attachment, how healthy was your attachment? Like that's where things begin, that, you know, was there relational trauma? So for me, it's always origin stuff. It's going back to the origin. And without getting too, like, sometimes I think in our culture, especially the therapy culture, we get really wrapped into the story, like let's talk about the story and what was it? And like, you know, all that stuff. And there's some value in that sometimes, but I think that's like an old model. We get stuck there too much. So for me, you know, deep healing isn't separate from healing. It's just healing. Because to me, if it's superficial, then it's, you're not really healing, right? So I go back to causation and origin. That's how I would say it.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, and Dr. Joe, just before we go on to you, we all have something in common. We talk about relationships. We're Italian. We must have some relationships. Go into therapy over, right?
Yes, we all have relational trauma, for sure, especially Italians.
and here we stand before you.
Yes, if we're Italian, if we're not yelling, then we don't care.
That's exactly right, yep.
This seems like an appropriate time for... Yes. So Dr. Joe, why don't you tell us what you think about, I was going to say relationship trauma because we're Italian, but you just start wherever you want.
So I think just to add on to what Giovanna was saying about how we, in our culture, we tend to try to separate things out or label things and put things in little boxes. It's, you can't really separate healing, deep healing, superficial healing, as Giovanna said, it's all healing. And everybody's at a different place in their healing. And depends on which facet of their life that you're looking at. So is it in relationships? Is it in their financial world? Is it in a physical way, an emotional way? And they're all obviously interconnected, but everybody's in a different place in each of those different realms. So when I work with people, I like to look at, one, what are they aware of going on in their life? Two, how much of that that they're aware of can they acknowledge? And then third is how much of what they can acknowledge can they accept in their lives about themselves without getting too wrapped up in the story of it. So what I like to look at is when I'm working people on top of that is the physical, emotional, mental, and if you're so inclined, the spiritual aspects of their life and how all of those things are intertwined and playing out in their life, so that we look at all aspects of who you are being at any given moment in your life.
Thank you. Because we were just discussing, obviously, the deep healing, because mm-hmm. those were the words that I was focusing on. And I think it comes down to, how deep is the wound? Mm. How far are we willing to look at that? Whether it's us, you know, we could talk about clients, but let's talk about us, because we're human. Mm. So if we have something that we want to heal, let's get right, roll up our sleeves and let's get into this for a second.
I'm already wearing a t-shirt, so not much sleeve to roll up there.
Let's go. You have your shirt on tonight. Well, that's a plus. You kept, because last time you took the sweater off Okay. We get it. It's a G-rated show. So we're going to stop there. But let's talk about what happens when there's something that we want to heal. So we recognize that there's something. If we have a good friend, they're going to make sure that we recognize it, right? Mm. We're not going to be able to get that, slide that past a good friend. Good friend's going to be the mirror for us. And then we say we want to deal with that. We want to get over it, get through it. We want to bring it. We want it to be behind us. We want to be in front of it. The terminology we use is important, but mm-hmm. we want it somewhere else. So how do we do that? How do you do that? Let's give a tip to our audience on how each of us goes through something that requires deep healing.
Okay.
I was just gonna say, it depends on what stage I'm at, because I mean, I have like a whole host of, like, you know, of a tool belt.
So is it a one glass of wine or a two glass of wine kind of problem, right?
Right, exactly. And you know, like there's that, like, you know, I'm so desperate, let me get rid of this, let me fix it, and then I have a whole, like, a tool belt of people for that. And then there's the, you know, like, I think I could work through this on my own kind of thing, where I sit mm-hmm. with my journal and, I don't know, do some shadow work, or, you know, do some, you know, demartini or something like that, which is a method that I learned years and years ago. And you know, it actually really just depends what it is and how stuck I feel, really, it just the level of stuckness. And it's interesting because, you know, I have a lot of friends who are coaches as well, and mm-hmm. who are, you know, into personal development and in their own way, whether they're actual coaches or not. And so sometimes I just have to get a different perspective, because, like, I know something's up and I know something's stuck, and I just have to get a perspective, or I have to get someone to say, well, have you considered this, or what about this? You know, this happened actually last night with my friend. Actually, I told in the bio you read about the co-leading the retreat. She mm-hmm. was one of my co-leader, and she's in Australia, so we have to make an appointment to talk. And so we were having a big chat on the phone, and, you know, I was talking to her about, you know, something I'm up against right now, and she said, "Oh, well, have you considered this, and have you done this kind of work on this?" And I thought, "Oh, no, I didn't." And that's totally something I would have said to a client, but, like, because I'm in it, I didn't, you know. My very first mentor used to say to me, and I quote her all the time, she said, "When you're the red in the rainbow, you can't see other colors."
Right.
So for me, you know, the answer is, it depends what I'm going through and what, like, sort of stage of, you know, of healing of that thing that I'm in. And then a lot of times I have to, you know, ask someone maybe to give me their perspective.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Dr. Joe, since your sleeves are already up.
So one of the big things, and Giovanna just mentioned it there, about when you're the red in the rainbow, you can't see the other colors, is, you know, we all have our blind spots. And if we could see them, they wouldn't be blind spots. Right. And so having that, like Giovanna mentioned, a good friend or somebody that you work with on a regular basis, whether it's a psychotherapist, a chiropractor, or homeopath, whomever it might be, or just a good friend, having somebody to point things out for you that you might not be able to see yourself is such a huge thing. And then for me, what I like to do is, sometimes I'll do a little bit of discovery around what the story is, but I try not to get too wrapped up in the story. And instead, I try to just be present with whatever emotions are coming up around that issue, whatever the issue is in the moment. And working with developing, being present with it without getting wrapped up in the emotion, if you know what I mean. So it's not, so I allow myself to feel the emotion without letting it run my life is the best way I can describe how it feels, how it feels to me. And for me, you know, being a fairly athletic guy on top of everything else, I like to get out and do stuff. So whether it's go out and really push myself on the hockey rink, playing when I play hockey twice a week, or in the gym lifting weights, or doing it in a softer way, like with some yoga and allowing the energy to move through my body. For me, I've got to get the energy in me moving so that I can access a higher state of energy, because, you know, we can't solve our existing problems with the same level of thinking or the same level of energy that created it. We need to access something bigger or that has more resourcefulness in it. And that's the way I go. Yeah.
Right. Well, I can relate to a few of everything that you both said, but all of it, but not to say all of it. There are some things that really stuck out in my mind. So one thing, for example, is I definitely need to be physical.
Right.
So if I'm looking, I'll be specific in my answer just so that I don't give the same, you know, because we all concur with one another. So let's say I'm talking to myself about something financial and I want to work on this financial situation.
Right.
Some people would say, well, just go to work and that will solve it. You want more money, go and do the hours. What I do if I'm working on something, let's say financial, is I will go into a physical state. So I will do a 30-day yoga, yin, Pilates. I will work out longer, harder. I will spend time in another area so that I could provide myself with more space in my mind and more space in my life, instead of getting up at 5 and going to sleep at 1 and working on clients or proposals or working with clients or looking for new clients or being frantic about it. I step away from the subject and I do something else to free up and shift the energy. So that process for me is very physical, and that creates for me the movement. And of course I can sit down, I can meditate about that. Right. Like you said, Joe, you don't sit in that moment and you don't sit there. And like you said, Giovanna, you have many tools to do things with, but I wanted to take something specific, perhaps that our audience would say, yes, I'm working through a financial situation. I'm working through a love sick problem, or I'm working through, because obviously we'll bring it back to your, to your upcoming book. So, you know, what about somebody who constantly goes into a situation in a love situation where it's always the same thing, and why is that happening? So what I do is I get physical, and when I get physical, things move around. Mm-hmm. And when they move around, then I get to see, like you said, you can't, if you, what does Einstein say?
Oh, but the same level of, you can't solve the problem with the same level of thinking that created it, right?
Exactly. But what's insanity?
Yeah.
Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right.
Yeah, so I really like that, actually, changing, like, you know, I guess Tony Robbins would call it changing your state, right? But it does make a lot of sense when you're stuck with a problem. I mean, you can continue to sit at your desk and ruminate, right? Or you can just change the state. Like, you know, sometimes I'll find myself just putting on some music and dancing.
Right. That perfect.
Right. So it's like I have to dance it out.
So here,
right. I can't
so here,
worry about it.
here's some science for the nerdy spiritual girl. There's actual research that shows when you change your position in relation to the problem you're working on physically, you actually change your perspective. So for example, if you're sitting down contemplating a problem and you stand up, you're going to see it from a different, you're literally going to see, your thinking's going to change to match going from sitting to standing. So you could even stand up on a chair on top of your desk and look down at your journal or your whatever, or even just in the, you know, if you're not writing it or anything, just stand up on a chair and get a different perspective. It'll change your thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. When I lived in California, I had a rebounder in my home office.
Right.
And I would sometimes in the middle of a client call or just having to change up the energy, you know, I'd put myself on mute and just get on the rebounder for a little bit. Yeah.
So that's great. Also to relate back to what Catherine said there about getting physical and creating more space in your head. That's also one of the things that Einstein did. He was working on a math problem or a physics problem and he was having trouble solving it. He'd go for a walk.
Yeah.
and through the streets of New York and let his mind wander. And it was, you know, there's many stories of police officers stopping him and having to drive him home because he realized he'd walked so far and how far he was from home and it was getting late and all that kind of stuff. So that's a great strategy.
Yeah. Well, these are great strategies for our audience. Mm-hmm. I could listen to this podcast over and over again, and I'm sure I could take notes and kind of revisit how I do things and come up with different results. This is great information. Jivan, I'd like to go into two more things if I can. And one is I'd like to know if you would tell us a little bit about your travel. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'd like to know if you can tell us a little bit, if you can, slip out something about Confessions of a Love. Confessions of a Love Junkie. Got that out. Okay.
I know, it's a mouthful. And you know, it's a working title. The publisher might scrap the whole title. That's the funny part about all of it.
Okay, so let's talk about your travel.
I heard California and Australia already in there. And I know you've been to Mexico as well. So,
well, it's funny because I've developed quite a reputation for loving to live in other countries, and it's so false in the sense that I didn't necessarily plan all that travel. I kind of rolled with the punches of stuff that was presented to me. So it's funny because my assistant a couple of weeks back said to me, I'm moving into a new condo at the end of the month, and she said, are you staying? And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, are you staying in Canada? And I said, yeah. I said, I've been here the past 2 years. I'm from here. But it's like I've developed this false reputation. But the way it started off is I really just hit the wall with being a caregiver. So I had an alternative medicine practice for 8 years. And for the last, 3 years of my mom's life, but more intensely the last 3 months of her life, I did a lot of palliative care with her. Right. And I didn't realize it at the time, but a year after she died, I just sort of hit the wall with my practice. And I started to just feel really unfulfilled. I felt like I was telling every patient the same thing. Right. And, I was starting to realize that the reason that I went to school to become a homeopath and to learn all of this beautiful energy medicine, I wasn't able to put it into practice, or I wasn't putting it into practice. And that was, I wanted to treat the false perception, because homeopathy at its core treats the false perception. And that to me was cool, because if we could treat the false perception, then God, everything changes, right? But I wasn't able to practice that way, because I was getting me like, I have asthma, fix the asthma. I got eczema. And it's like people didn't want to go deeper. They just wanted to fix the thing. Right.
Band-aid solutions.
Band-aid solution. And I was just getting more and more unfulfilled. And then through a series of, relationship, hitting the wall and some other, personal trauma that happened.
Right.
I got to a stage where I said, you know what? I've never done this in my life. I had planned to do a yoga teacher training that got postponed. And I hit the wall, and I said, I'm taking a sabbatical. So I, for 2 months, left, and I went to Mexico. And while I was on this 2 month vacation, I realized that I needed to take a longer sabbatical. So I decided that I was going to take a year and leave it open to maybe a year and a half too, but a year for sure. And I had sold my condo, and I had some other things happening. And I, came back from this vacation and sort of packed out my practice. I referred my patients out to other practitioners, and I left, take this year in Mexico. And so that was the only planned thing, right? That's why I have this false reputation that I just love to travel and, internationally move and live, and it was fun and it was great, but I'm much more rooted. I want more roots than that. So I created a lot of probably trauma for myself in the process, but it was all good.
Trauma is just another word for fuel for growth.
Fuel, so much fuel, Joe. Oh my God. So while I was living in Mexico, the story goes, I met someone who lived in Australia, and that's how I ended up in Australia. And then that lasted for however long it lasted, just under a year. And then I got a job offer, and the job offer happened to be in California. And that's how I ended up in California. So it was funny because I planned a year, and I, rolling with the punches and just, taking the next step of where life presents itself. I ended up being away for 5 years.
Right.
And it was great. It was awful and great at the same time. There was a lot of awful experiences and there was some great experiences. So, It was wonderful because I had done a lot of travel, like in my early 20s. I went off and worked on a cruise ship. I was Julie McCoy for 2.5 years. So I've always had the travel bug, and I'll never not have the travel bug. It's just who I am. But, right. You know, the international moves were, you know, it got to a point. I was in California for 2.5 years, and I was in meditation actually one day, and I literally heard just, you're done. It's time to go back. I was like, okay.
That's awesome. That's kind of how I ended up moving to Ottawa. It was a similar hearing that inside, it's time. So
yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Giovanna. I feel that when you talk about your travels, it seems like you gravitate to being in different places, and different situations gravitate to you, and you go with it. And you've said that a few times, how you go with the flow, and you're so open. And I believe that reading your book, I'm going to feel that. So can you talk to us a little bit about just whatever you're willing to share?
Yeah.
Well, the whole plot away.
No, I, you know what, it's the title suggests it. So the book came to be because I, in that relationship that brought me to Australia, literally hit my relationship rock bottom. It was abusive. It was, you know, now I can look back and say traumatic in a lot of ways, right. And just that whole experience. And it was really interesting because after that relationship ended and I was just beside myself, and I just couldn't figure out why that one had ended and the one before that ended. And I just couldn't, you know, and it's funny because I grew up always fascinated by relationships. I think I read my first Herbal Hendrix book when I was like 18, which is like way not what 18-year-olds should be doing. But I read it because my parents had such an awful marriage and I was like, I don't want that. Right. And of course, you know, I almost married my father and luckily didn't go down the aisle with that, but it had happens, right? And so years later, I find myself in Australia and I hit this rock bottom, and I was recovering from that. And I was actually on the phone with my coach, and she said to me, she said, do you realize that you are addicted? And I said, what are you talking about? No, I'm not. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What addicted to what? And she said, well, you're kind of addicted to this like illusion of romantic love. And I was like, so at first I kind of resisted, and then I was like, oh my God. And so I had this moment of realizing that I was addicted to the solution of romantic love. I was basically using all these men and these relationships to try to fulfill that piece and to try and be okay with myself. And it was just this real kind of awareness. And she said, and then I said, I'm addicted to love. And I'm like, that's not even a thing. Well, it turns out it is a thing.
Yep. Very much. Yeah.
Yeah. So it turns out it's not in the DSM yet, but you can be a love addict. And, you know, you could be on any, and you know, there's a broad spectrum. Like you can be Glenn Close, burn bunnies, like poor bunnies, like that end of the spectrum.
Right.
And then you can be highly functional, you know, somewhat successful woman who just can't get her relationship, you know, what together.
Right.
And it was just such like everything inside me sunk because I just had to really face that the problem was with me. And it was several months after that I was sitting in a cafe, and I had come up out of the cloud of awful grief and disappointment, and I was feeling really good. And actually I was already planning to come back to Toronto. This is before the job offer to California. And I was sitting in this cafe and I thought, you know, I want to write a book. I'm going to write about this story. Like it's almost like a cautionary tale. Like I just feel like I need to recount, you know, how I got here and all these relationships. And so I started writing. I started writing, you know, chapter headings, and I started writing a loose outline. And I was like, God, he's like, what would I call this book? And then all of a sudden I pause and I hear Robert Palmer in the background going, might as well face it.
You're addicted to love.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so serendipitous. So, it was amazing.
So this four-letter word, this good four-letter word.
This good four-letter word.
This L word.
Well, it's L with a small, it's a small L, right? Because it's not the universal divine love, because we should all be addicted to that.
So just, right? And just like that other four-letter word, it can be a verb or it can be a noun.
Yes.
Or elsewise.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how it kind of came to be. And originally the book was called like, you know, Romanceaholic, and it's gone through just various iterations. I mean, then it was called Unsettled, for obvious reasons, because I was unsettled. And then it was called Unlovable. And then the interesting part is that I went to see my homeopath last year, and she was updating my remedy. And she said, do you want me to tell you a little bit about your remedy? And since she used to teach me and we were colleagues,
right.
she shared that one of the keynotes of this remedy is lovesickness. And I said, what? So it was, it just all came together. And I thought, that's the new title of the book. Again, a publisher may totally say we hate it.
Sure.
And that's not what it's going to be called. But
listen, if you could have a title of a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What, then I think Lovesick Confessions of a Love Junkie could work.
Yeah. But see, that's marketable. That name's marketable. This one might not be. So we'll see what they say.
And this leads me, thank you so much for sharing this.
Yeah,
and
that
this
was
leads
awesome.
Me to our next, thank you so much, both of you, because the interaction that we're having tonight is just awesome. It feels so great. So let me ask you this. I would like to go into our final moment. And our final moment is where I'd like to have all of us contribute to the final moment, our takeaway from tonight. Giovanna, I'd like to ask you, what if you could share, you could share more than one, but one would be good. We'll just, you know, go around the room, go around the city here.
What, around the province.
Yeah, exactly. Can you share one of your takeaways from this evening's podcast?
You know, I really appreciate the point that both of you made about, you know, changing your physical state, because as much as I know that, and it's like, even Joe, when you mentioned the science behind that, I'm like, of course I know that, right? There's so many times I just forget that, because it's so easy. You know, it's like fight, flight, or freeze. And I do the freeze thing really well. So, but it's interesting that if you just move your body, take a walk, get some air, and that does. And there's so much evidence I have in my own life of that. So I'm going to take that away as, you know, kind of a little mental note. Like I need to put that back into practice more. Right. So thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Joe, Dr. Energy.
Oh, you want me to go first? You want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Please.
So you just want to have the last word.
That's right.
So for me, the real theme that I'm hearing is about Giovanna, you mentioned it a lot, and Catherine noted it as well, was about going with the flow. And it sounds like for both yourself, Giovanna, and myself, we both had that moment where life basically spoke to us and said, it's time to move now. And, you know, we can choose to listen to it and take that advice, or we can choose to resist it, and then life gets painful. So I'm getting, my goal is to keep getting better and better at listening and acting on those messages that life is sending me. So that's my final moment.
Thank you. That's your final moment. Thank you. I mean, let me give you my final moment.
Absolutely.
So here's how I'd like to discuss it. And I like to talk about athletes and who heals the healer. What I really heard tonight was, we're not alone. We don't have to be alone. When we're open and we go to the person that we need to go to, we will solve the issue. We will solve the problem. We will find the path. We will bridge to where we need to go. So not to stay with it, not to hold on to it. So with that, I'd like to say, this has been an awesome, awesome podcast, great relationship building. What the three of us have is awesome. I have to say that. I want to be the first to say it. Thank you, Giovanna. Thank you, Dr. Joe.
Thank you. Let's
keep doing that. And let's say have a great night to everybody.
Absolutely. Have an awesome night.
Thank you both. It was wonderful. It was an honor to be asked to come on and play with you guys for a bit.
Well, thank you for agreeing to it. You know, we're really excited to basically have you kick off this season or this series of podcasts with authors and future authors. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.bu.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.bu.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.